Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol Ferrasi.
Hey everyone, welcome to The Whole Scoop. We're back again for another great night. We are a health and wellness radio show where our guests are always highly credentialed in their topics of discussion. I am your host, Carol Ferrasi, a registered licensed dietitian practicing for over 30 years and the founder of Naturally Nutrition. Check me out at www.naturallynutritioninc.com. And as you well know, if you've been listening to this show for a while, you know that it's my goal to provide you highly qualified guests on a variety of topics in order to promote your own health and wellness. Tonight's show is absolutely no exception to that. It is sugar, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm going to remind you that while our guests are highly credentialed, as I just said, it's important to check with your to seek medical advice prior to implementing any and all interventions discussed on this program. So the call-in number is 347-855-8894, and you can direct questions and comments to our Facebook Blog Talk Radio page. We're always looking for new things on there. We're looking to talk with you and hear your comments and feedback. We've got somebody checking that for tonight, so it'll be fun. So do the Facebook page if you want, or you can just call in and listen. We will be taking questions later on in the show. At that point in time, I'm going to call out the last four digits of your phone number. And if you are going to ask a question, press the number one to get in the queue for questions. And then when you're finished, once you're finished, press the number one again. Okay, so all that being said, we've got one of our favorite guests back tonight. Every time he's here, we get multiple feedback. He did one of our first shows on alternatives to back surgery, and we're still getting people that archive that show constantly because he's just such a great, great person. It's Dr. Basilio Pace. He is the founder of Total Care of Union City. He's a chiropractic consultant for Liberty Mutual Insurance, Crawford Insurance, and the RP Medical and Rehabilitation Group of Hasbrouck Heights, New Jersey. He is board certified in the state of New York, New Jersey, and Florida with a master's certification in cervical acceleration deceleration injuries, San Diego Spine Research Institute. Trust me, there's so much more to this man. On top of all of that, he's got a fabulous bio and he's got a fabulous personality, and I'm going to prove it to you right now because I'm going to bring him on. Are you here?
I am here, and thanks for welcoming back, and what a great introduction, and so nice to speak to you again and to talk about one of our favorite topics, sugar.
I know. It's a great topic tonight. We're talking about sugar. I mean, we could be here for days and, whatever. You know, it's amazing. But, you know, you do your own stuff with sugar. I do my stuff. So we should just combine efforts tonight. I don't have a real specific agenda. I did do some statistics. I'm just going to start us off with some of those. Just to give everybody an idea as to why I chose this topic, or why actually we chose this topic together, is because in the U.S. alone, in 2015, we consumed 9.9 million metric tons. 9.9 million metric tons of sugar. And it's projected in 2016 that we will consume 10.9 million metric tons of sugar. That's just
in
the U.S. I know. Total worldwide, get this, 170.8 million metric tons. And then I'll break it down a little bit later on as to how the U.S. compares to every other country out there, because I want to talk about high fructose corn syrup too, and there's a real interesting contrast to that. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But amazing. It's just mind-boggling. And then, you know, we've got sugar, and you got sugar additives, and you got all kinds of different sugars. So I think maybe we should just start with, why are we talking about sugar, and you know, what's the problem? What's the harm?
Is sugar the new health food? That's what it sounds like. We should all be eating tons of sugar then, right? That's what the food industry wants us to ingest, so we can
exactly right.
Get unhealthy, I guess. because sugar is, we know now, causes all sorts of problems in the body. People know it as diabetes, which leads to hypertension, weight problems, and sugar before was not a big problem. Fat was the big culprit. So now we're finding out, well, fats really aren't that bad for you if they're the good fats, and it's the sugar that's causing a lot of problems because sugar's in everything, and not just table sugar, but whatever we eat, a refined carbohydrate, that turns into sugar in the body. And the American diet, as you well know, because you're the specialist, you're the registered licensed dietitian, knows that these refined carbohydrates turn into sugar, and the body uses sugar for energy, but the body also uses fat for energy. And if we continue to only use sugar in the body for energy from the refined carbohydrates, what happens is the extra sugar gets converted to fat, and we never burn fat for energy. So then we develop a problem of being overweight, obese, insulin resistant from the sugar, and people start getting sick. But they don't relate that to the sugar. They don't see sugar as a problem, or bread, or rice, and the pizza. So one of my mantras in my office is I got off the sugar diet a couple of years ago and actually lost over 30 pounds because I realized, well, eating a loaf of bread and drinking a bottle of wine every night was leading to me being overweight and unhealthy, even though I was exercising. Where's all this weight coming from? Because, you know, you add the sugar on and the carbs on and you're doing a, you know, carb diet and low fat and you get fat. And that's what's happening
to
a lot of people.
Well, yeah, and I'm going to add to that a little bit because, you know, you're absolutely correct, but I think that there's a double-edged sword here. We've got to bring in the whole food industry as it relates to this because it's not just – I don't want people to think that carbohydrates are absolutely bad because they're not. We need carbohydrates, proteins, and fats.
The good carbs, like from vegetables, from fruits.
Right.
Not
there
out of
are,
a box.
Well, you know what? There are good carbs and I don't like to say good and bad carbs. I like to say simple versus complex. And it's
complex.
A complex carbohydrate that actually has some nutritive value. It's the simple ones that don't necessarily always have the nutritive value that you're looking for. So, and they break down a lot quicker in the body, which are the sugars, which is exactly what we're talking about, glucose, fructose, those kinds of things that people have heard of. They break down real quick in the body. They give a real quick source of energy, but it's empty. And we call those empty calories because there's no real nutritive value to what they bring to, here's the pun, to the table. That all being said, we've got multiple factors here as it relates to our food consumption because our foods today are different than they used to be in that
exactly.
They're produced differently and there are additives and there are chemicals and there are added sugars. In fact, the FDA is coming out with a new food label. I just got a sample of that in my email last week. It's not released yet. They're going to be adding a line for added sugars so that people can see that there are sugars there that weren't accounted for on the old label. So why are we saying all this? Because it's absolutely true. The added sugars and the sugar syrups and everything else that you see in your food, you need to know about because they do contribute directly to diabetes and everything that you just mentioned. But what was interesting is as I was doing some of this research, they're thinking about doing a cap and trade on the high fructose corn syrup, and that's going to be real interesting. So when we talk about high fructose corn syrup, that's just another conversation. So given all of that, it can be mind-boggling because people don't know exactly what they're eating, and they look at it. I see this every time in the grocery store. I see it with people go, "Oh, that's got 50 carbs in it. You can't have that." Are they even sure what they're looking at? So let's outline it a little bit, okay?
Sure.
All right. So when you tell your patients about it, don't you get that same kind of response?
It's very difficult because they think they're eating healthy. So I'm having, you know, whole wheat bread, and I'm having my oatmeal, and you know, I'm drinking a lot of juice, orange juice, this kind of juice, and well, that's all sugar. It's all sugar, and that's all you're feeding your body is sugar. Do you eat vegetables? Oh, I don't eat vegetables. Well, do you eat? Says, what do you eat? Well, you know, I'll have my rice and my beans and my tortillas and my pizza and my French fries and when do you eat some vegetables and some complex carbs? You know, healthy food. Do you eat stuff that grows from the ground? You know, do you eat fruit? And they're not. They're on the, you know, the typical American white diet, and they're hypertensive and diabetic and overweight. And so, well, how do I lose weight? So you sing the song, you know, well, there's no bread, no pasta, no rice, no pizza. And I say that all day long in the office. And they think I'm crazy.
Yeah,
but
I'm sure they do.
It works. And, well, don't eat that stuff. Eat vegetables, meats, and fish, healthy meats, healthy fish, grass-fed animals, and you'll see your metabolism will change. Because then your body starts using fat for energy as opposed to sugar. If you don't give the body sugar, it uses other stuff for energy, and you actually start getting healthy. Because sugar is inflammatory to the cells, and you become insulin resistant, and over a long period of time, it leads to all these other health problems like we're talking about.
Well, and I think it's important to mention, because this is where people get confused. I think it's important to mention that sugar is absolutely a natural food. It grows from the ground, and it is harvested. The thing about it is that we were never meant to consume such large amounts.
That's right.
And so because our bodies, you know, there used to be an old adage where our moms and our grandmas and our parents used to say, everything in moderation. There's nothing wrong with that adage. But we lost it somewhere because when I say that the 9.9 million metric tons in the U.S., I mean, in comparison to the rest of the world, we're projected to do 10.9 million metric tons. And here's the breakdown. Get this. Here's the breakdown. It's pretty amazing. In the United States, the average person consumes more than 126 grams of sugar per day, which is slightly more than 3 12-ounce cans of Coca-Cola. That's more than the twice the average of sugar intake of all 54 countries in Europe, in the Euromonitor, which was where the study came from. Now, the second country is Germany, and they consume 103 grams, so we're still well above them. And then the third country is the Netherlands, and they're at 102.5 grams. And everybody else are totally on the other end of the spectrum, India, Israel, Indonesia, China, where people apparently don't like sweets at all. And they do 5 grams per day on average. In Israel, it's 14.5 grams. Indonesia, it's just over 15 grams. And in China, it's just under 16 grams. And in comparison to what you just said, the relationship to heart disease in those countries compared to what we have is phenomenally much higher in this country than it is in those countries, statistically.
Absolutely right.
So there's something to be said for that. Now, difference is that when you start talking about high fructose corn syrup, now that throws in a whole different thing, because for people who don't know, high fructose corn syrup is made from corn. It's a derivative from corn. It's natural but not natural in the way that they process it. And because of that processing, it causes our bodies to react differently, and our bodies cannot process the overload that high fructose corn syrup provides for us. So here's the contrast. We're still looking at, if we go back to those statistics with sugar, for the U.S. being the highest and Germany being the second highest, Germany is a very low consumption of high fructose corn syrup. And if you look at the statistics consistently with their heart disease and their diabetes and whatever, they're lower. So is there a relationship? I'd say there's a relationship to both. The U.S., we have the highest consumption of both, sugar and high fructose corn syrup. So go figure.
It's not good for the body.
No,
not good for the body.
Not at all.
And the people are confused. They don't understand that what the food industry is pushing, our whole diet in America really changed. Maybe early 60s, it started changing quite a bit compared to the way, you know, our parents were eating, you know, years ago. It was a lot more natural. People were going to the markets more frequently and eating fresh foods. And then it became, you know, TV dinners, fast food, packaged food, processed foods. So the whole industry changed with all these, you know, sugar, food additives, excitotoxins that they put into the flavor enhancers, they call them, in the foods that make you eat, you know, a bag of, you know, chips or corn chips or all those other chippy products. They're fun to eat, but you wind up eating a bag of it, and it's really toxic to the body.
Yeah, it really is. And you don't feel it. So let's make that point too. It's not like you eat it, you feel it. It's a gradual, consistent process that consistently causes an inflammatory response in the system. And
that's
that
right.
Inflammatory response, as we've talked about in different ways on this program in different times, will cause you to have chronic conditions. And chronic conditions can lead to acute conditions. And those conditions then cause major health issues. So I think I mentioned just a little bit ago about the cap and trade situation that they're projecting for the high fructose corn syrup. It's pretty interesting because they're projecting, I'm going to try to find it here in a minute. You're familiar with cap and trade, right?
Yes.
Okay, so for those, while I'm looking for this, do you want to explain cap and trade for just a second while I'm just looking for this real fast?
Well, let me touch on a point that you just mentioned, that sugar is inflammatory. It's inflammatory at the cellular level, and that's when things start to break down because sugar directly affects the cell, and the cells have receptors for the sugar and for the insulin. So when we overload the cell with too much sugar, then we become insulin resistant, which then leads to the problems with the diabetes. But also inflammatory, the cells become ill, they don't work as well, you have less energy, and then on the whole level, from the cellular level, you have inflammation. Inflammation, which leads to pain, which leads to arthritis, which leads to all the other inflammatory problems with the digestive system, with the neuromuscular system. So getting off the sugar is key to getting healthy, getting off the simple sugars, the refined sugars.
Thank you for making that point because it's an excellent point. Just if you don't mind, if I can tweak that for a second.
Sure.
The cellular level that you're talking about, everything that we eat, fats, proteins, carbohydrates, all break down into smaller substances so that they can get into the cells. What you're talking about is that these particular compounds, the glucose, the fructose, the sugars, are simple compounds, and they don't have much breaking down to go, so they go directly to the cells to cause a physiological chemical reaction to allow that cell to extract the to do the nutritive extraction that is required to do for metabolism. So when you overload your body with sugars, you are dumping into your cells an overload of sugar that's causing then those cells to react. And whenever we eat anything, proteins, fats, and carbohydrates, we have to produce insulin to transport into the cells. So that insulin then gets produced to deliver what we've just eaten. But when we overload with sugar, we aren't producing enough insulin to handle the sugar. The sugar gets out of control. The insulin can't handle it because we overeat it. We've just said that with even just proven that as a country, we overeat it. And then that's what causes diabetes. That's what causes the inflammatory response, because now the body doesn't know how to deal with it, and it's like all the warning signals go off in the body, and the body's going, you know, caution, caution, what's happening here? And you don't feel it, but you will
It actually breaks down the cell membranes, and the cell membranes become leaky, and the cells stop functioning properly. So that's where the inflammation comes in, because it actually breaks down the cell membranes, so the nutrients can't go in and out as they should, and they become unhealthy, the cells.
Thank you for clarifying. You're right. Yeah. It's just bad all the way around, because you're not doing anything to help your body, and you're thinking, oh wow, this is natural, it's great, let me eat it, and what you're not knowing is that some of those natural products that you think are health foods, even your smoothies and your fruit juices and everything that you're adding to a smoothie, are exactly what we're just talking about, and it's
right.
A matter of really understand what you're putting in. Yeah, you got to understand what you're putting into your body in order to make your body work.
Whether it's honey or agave syrup. Oh, that's not sugar. It's agave. It's healthy. It's organic. You know, because it's organic sugar. But it's still sugar. It has the same response. Or agave. It has even more glycemic index than regular sugar. It's closer to fructose. So even though it says organic, it's not necessarily healthy for you, because it's still sugar. You know, a little honey is natural. It's good for you, but it's still sugar. It's still sugar in the end. So it doesn't matter what form it is. It's still sugar. And if you go back to our primitive ancestors, you know, it was hunter-gatherer. They didn't eat a lot of sugar. It was whatever, seasonal fruits, some honey. It wasn't available all the time. So that's really the kind of diet that our bodies work best with, you know. So that's why you hear the paleo diets or the Mediterranean diets. They work better because they're low in sugar, and they have complex carbohydrates as the basis, good meats, grass-fed meats, good fats, and it's healthy, and it works. And
it does.
And it really does. And that's the difference. So the bottom line is, if people want to get healthy, they should eat more natural products. So, you know, if you can't read the label on the box because the ingredients are all chemicals, I tell my patients, don't eat it. If you can't read the label, don't eat it. You know, you need a degree in chemistry to read some of these boxes or some of these snack foods. Even if it says organic, it doesn't matter. It's still full of stuff that you shouldn't be eating. If it's grown naturally, comes from the ground, well, then, you know, it's a good chance that it's okay.
Right. If you know what it is, chances are it's okay.
You
don't know what it is, and you can't pronounce it, and you can't even begin to try to pronounce it, it's probably not okay. And when those little things on the labels that say, you know, contains BHA, BHT for preserving, well, guess what? You know, all that's going to do is mess up your system. So, yes, maybe we're not talking about sugars per se when we talk about those preservatives and the additives, but we are saying that your metabolism will get thrown off to the point where if you're eating excess sugar on top of ingesting those particular chemicals, now you've just given a whole different variable to your body to try to deal with, all at the same time that it's trying to deal with the overload of sugar. So we're not really doing anything to help ourselves if we don't look at this. We have to kind of go back in time, as much as we don't want to admit it, is as much as, you know, when we could pronounce our foods and when we grew our own foods, we were healthier.
We have to go back to the times of our grandparents even, and great-grandparents, when there was no fast food. And, you know, stuff came from, you know, the farms, from the ground to the table, that kind of thing. And they were healthier. They were healthier.
Yeah. Well, so all that being said, are there benefits to sugar? I'm going to let you take that first, and then I'm going to chime in. The good, the bad, the ugly, you know?
You know, a little sugar, like we said, a little honey in your tea, you know, a sweet now and then, a little, you know, ice cream. In moderation, it's not going to harm you. But if it's constant on your body, it's going to affect you in a negative way. You know, people wake up after they eat that stuff. Oh, gee, my joints hurt. I must be getting arthritis. No, that's inflammation. It's inflammation. You know, that's why if you change your diet a little bit and you go back to eating some, you know, good fats, it goes away. It goes away. Get off the soda. It goes away. My brother-in-law does maintenance at a sugar refinery, and he's constantly having to maintain the concrete floors because the sugar and the acids in the sugar that they use to process it eats up the concrete. And if you're drinking those sugar products and the sodas, especially the colas that have phosphoric acid in it, it's going to leach the minerals right out of your bones, just like you could put Coca-Cola on the car bumper. If it has rust, it'll take the rust off your bumper.
Yeah, that's
true. So what do you think it does to your body?
Well, let's just go back to that point for a second. Okay, he does what in a sugar refinery?
He does maintenance work in terms of replacing all the damaged concrete floors in the
and they're damaged because there's so much sugar and the
sugar acids that they use for processing just eats up the concrete.
So
yeah.
It's the same sugar
that
you ingest. Because
that's
it's a
right.
sugar refinery, it's being produced for consumption, correct?
Correct, correct.
I just
want to
make that
of,
point. Understand
there
that
are silos of sugar,
sugar
that the animals don't eat. You know, the insects, rodents stay away from it. They don't touch it. They don't touch it. It's toxic.
Okay, so insects and rodents don't eat the sugar at all. They just stay away from it.
They stay away from it.
Hmm.
That's it.
So maybe we should look at sugar a little differently and start using it as pest control.
They won't eat it. They won't eat it for
I
pest
know.
Control.
Well, stay away from
they
it,
just
right?
Avoid it. They'll eat the other. They'll eat real food. They know better.
They know better. See, they're smarter
they
than we are. I guess, huh? It's amazing.
That's it.
I'm just going to remind. I'm going to take a small interruption here. Remind everybody you're listening to. Let's see if we can get this going again.
You're listening to The Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol Ferrazzi.
See, that's a little different than the last time you were with us. We got that going. Isn't that, that's cool, right?
That's nice.
So,
great production team
anyway,
out there.
Thanks. This is The Whole Scoop Radio, and we're talking with Dr. Basilio Pace, and we're talking about sugar, the good, the bad, the ugly tonight. You want to tell them how they can get in touch with you?
Well, I'm at... call us on our phone, 201-330-7575, or you can check us out at totalcarerehab.com. And, you know, we'll be glad to answer any questions or check out our website. Chiropractors do study nutrition in school and postgraduate, so we have a lot of background in nutrition and health. But the real expert is the one hosting the show. That's Carol Ferrazzi. She's the registered licensed dietitian. She knows more than most physicians in terms of diets and how to get healthy and what to eat and what not to eat and how much to eat. And that's where people need a lot of help in. And so what would you do with somebody on a typical American diet? Like, where would you get started?
Oh, you're asking me?
Yes, I'm asking you.
Okay. Well, the first thing you do is you do pretty much what we already talked about. You find out exactly how they're eating and what they're eating. And 9 times out of 10, if somebody comes to me and says, you know what, I just need to eat healthy and I need to feel better, because I get that all the time. I can't tell you how many calls I get for that. The first thing I do is say, hey, all right, tell me what you're eating. Tell me how you're eating. And why don't we just start simply? Because nobody ever wants to change everything right away. And I'm a firm believer that if you try to change everything right away, it doesn't work, because it's a lifestyle change that you're talking
right.
about, and you
right.
can't do that immediately. So I'll do things like, all right, let's start with where you are right now, and I want to cut it by 25%. And I teach them what that 25% looks like in portions. I teach them what it looks like in terms of how they're looking at their foods and what it means. And then I teach them little things like what it means to actually this sounds a little crazy, but what it means to experience your food. Because we don't stop to experience foods anymore. We just eat. And and we might be eating in the car, we might be eating at a soccer game, we just, you know, well, those hot dogs are there and I just eat them. But if you start to really pay attention to eating and you start to really think about what you're eating, and then you start to think about again how your food tastes and what it means and how you feel after you've eaten that, because you can recognize what you feel like after you've eaten something, it makes a world of difference. And 9 times out of 10, they'll come back to me and they will have lost a little bit of weight, not a lot, but they have an awareness that I can now work with. So that's the beginning point.
That's great. That's great. And it's simple, and it makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult. And with a few tweaks, you'll feel better, you eat better, and you get healthy. And yes, you know, if you're overweight, you know, weight loss is a goal, and you have to monitor what you eat, when you eat, how you're eating, why you're eating, like you just said, and the type of food you're eating are important, and you get good results. It's not that complicated.
Yeah.
I had a patient come in the other day. He was overweight, maybe about 250 pounds, and doctor says, "Oh, I mean, you know, I'm thinking about having my gastric surgery. And, you know, there's a new procedure now, and they cut my stomach, and they make it look like the banana thing, and I'm not going to eat as much, and the first couple of weeks I'm on a liquid diet." And, you know, if you just went on a diet and changed the way you eat, you wouldn't need to do the surgery. He says, "What are you doing? People, did you ever go to a registered dietitian to help you with your eating?" No. People are going straight to the surgeon to help them with their...
Yep.
weight problems, and it's frightening. It's frightening. What are you doing? If you like to eat, why would you cut up your stomach so you can't eat? That's a lifetime change. Why don't you just change the way you eat so you can keep eating?
Right.
It's frightening. That's what's going on today.
That's very true. And you know, let me just since you were so wonderful to give me that plug there, I'm gonna do a little clarification. Okay. Everybody knows what a nutritionist is. Everybody can say, "Oh, you know, I got a nutritionist down the road that specializes in whatever product they do and blah, blah, blah," and you know, not a big deal. And when you just ask your patient, "Have you ever seen a dietitian?" the answer is usually no, because they don't know what a dietitian is. So I'm going to clarify that, okay?
Please.
A registered licensed dietitian means that person has a 4-year degree with a 5th-year internship that was not guaranteed. You had to seek it out, get accepted, get approved, and go a 5th year. And then once you get that 5th-year internship, that makes you eligible to sit for a national exam. And that national exam then makes you, if you pass that, you become registered. You can practice as a registered dietitian in certain states that don't require licensure, but most states require licensure now. So you have to meet qualifications for licensure in the state in which you live. So those qualifications for licensure then are different in each and every state. Giving that example, you are bound by both the national registration and the state licensure to maintain continuing education. And that continuing education is consistent and congruent with the type of practice that you have. So, for instance, in my case, I specialize in food sensitivity, in celiac disease, in chronic inflammatory responses. And with the Commission of Dietetic Registration, I have to present a plan that is reviewed by the board and then approved for me to then obtain continuing education credits. And my credits have to be consistent with the type of practice that I have. So I can't just go out and say, "Oh, you know what? I'm going to go get some continuing education on fitness," because I don't do fitness as a profession. So when you're looking for someone, you want to look for that registered licensed dietitian. We are the ones that work in the hospitals. We are the ones that work in the healthcare environment. We are healthcare practitioners. We are the ones that are recognized by the medical profession. We are the ones that they all come to when they know to come to us and ask what is happening physiologically, nutritionally, with your situation. So if you have a particular chronic inflammatory response, if you have a heart disease, if you have diabetes, if you have cancer, we're the people that are you're gonna see when you're getting treated. In contrast, a nutritionist, there are, and I'm going to make this point, there are many, many, many good nutritionists out there. There are people that have PhDs that are nutritionists that just don't have they're not dietitians. But by virtue of license, by virtue of state requirements and federal requirements, anybody at all can use the term nutritionist. So your neighbor down the street who sells a particular product on a multi-level marketing situation can call themselves a nutritionist. That does not make them an expert. What makes them an expert are people like me who have this registration, who have this licensure,
training.
And most of us are certified in specific areas. So it's kind of like if you have heart disease, you go to a cardiologist. You don't go to an oncologist. So the same thing
or
with
a
dietitian. Or a gynecologist. Same thing with a dietitian. You want to find a dietitian that specializes in the areas that you need. So I make that point just so that everybody understands that there is a difference, and you need to shop around. You need to find the right person and the right fit for you. So thank you for giving me that little bit.
And there aren't that many registered dietitians with your training around. It's very hard to find, even in my area here in New Jersey in Hudson County. They're limited, and people don't know, and it's so important. I had one patient. He was a manager at a fast food chain. He was about 300 pounds. And he came back, maybe I hadn't seen him for a couple of years, came back, he was 150 pounds. I says, what happened to you? He says, how did you lose all this weight? He says, I went to a registered dietitian, and they put me on a diet, and I started exercising, and I lost 150 pounds in a matter of a year, without surgery, without drugs. And he's still the manager at this fast food chain, but he's healthy now. And I'm just
good.
So proud of him. I brag about him all the time. So
great.
It's possible
that's fabulous.
To have dramatic weight loss, dramatic weight change. You could change your life without surgery, without drugs. There's no quick fix. And,
no, there
and
is.
It is a lifestyle change. But if you like to eat, you could eat the right foods. Things that we shouldn't be eating that much of is sugar and the things that break down into sugar, like the refined carbs. You know, I like my pizza, but if I eat a whole pizza, you know, I don't feel good after that, and I get heavy, I gain weight. So, you know, you got to restrict that kind of intake, and once in a while you could have some, but
you just can't do it all the time, and you can't do it
can't
like,
do it all the
well,
time.
I have a pizza today, and I have a Big Mac for lunch, and then I have, you know, Wendy's tomorrow, and I have this and that, and then you go, but I only had that for the day. Well, you know, look at it cumulatively for the week, and you've just packed on a bunch of extra calories. In fact, statistically, they're showing that we as a society are eating about 400 more calories a day than what we used to eat.
That we need, right.
And that converts.
Which gets converted to fat,
right?
It gets converted to fat, and then people are, I can't lose weight. I can't burn my fat. Why? Well, you're loading up on all the sugars. How many sodas did you have today, full of sugar? And, but I just drink diet soda. Well, guess what? Diet soda still causes that insulin response in the body. Even the
natural
sweet.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Let's talk about diet soda because
people are so confused.
Sweetness, with that.
Right.
They're so confused. And those artificial sweeteners cause a response, a chemical
problems.
Response in the body to suppress insulin, which causes a metabolic resistance. So it's very well known that those are they also cause things like inflammatory responses, like cancers and heart disease. It's amazing as to what they do. There's nothing good about them. Nothing.
No, and so, people don't know because the media makes it sound like, well, there's no calories, so it can't be bad. It's not going to make me fat. But it's a chemical, and a lot of the chemicals, they're not even natural chemicals. So it's not like it's a natural sweetener. It's an unnatural sweetener that was chemically produced by some kind of, you know, chemical company that is put in the food. And it's having drastic changes on people's health that they're not aware of. And it's in everything. They put it in everything.
That's right. So all that being said, what should people do? You know, I mean, yes, you're right. They should cut the calories and whatever. But all that, people don't even let me just go here. I know we're talking about sugar, but we got to do some clarification here because people get real confused real easily. Two things I hear in the grocery store are, you know, oh my God, look how many carbohydrates there are. Look at those carbs. You can't have those. And how many calories? But I'm willing to bet the majority of people don't even know what a calorie is. So I'm going to say this. I said this on my very first show when we were talking about my very first show. We kicked off with the first of the year with weight loss. That was last year sometime. But I'm going to define it again. A calorie is a unit. It's a measure of energy in the body. It's a natural event. It has to occur. That's how we measure energy in the body. So when they give you calories on the label, it's a conversion factor. It says what you're about to eat will convert this many units of energy in the body. So when you have excess calories, then you have to be able to do something with those calories. You have to burn them off somehow, some way, because it is a measurement of heat. It actually, I believe it's, it takes one, oh gosh, I just drew a blank. You know, did you ever just draw a blank on something that you know off the top of your head? I just drew a blank on the measurement of a calorie. Do you happen to know it? Because I just drew a total blank.
I forget the conversion myself.
I think it's 1 gram. I think it's, I just have to look at that 1 second because it's something that I, like I said, it's on the tip of my tongue every single day, and I just lost it for a second. So I will give you that. But please just know that calories are essential. So when you start thinking, oh, no, calories are bad, they're not necessarily bad. So what should you do? You should do what I said. Everything is a lifestyle change. So whatever you're doing right now, cut it by 25%. That's number one. Number two, whatever you're eating that you cannot pronounce, don't.
Don't eat it. Right, exactly.
Don't eat it. Just don't eat it. And then the third thing you can do is it's just real simple. Start cutting out the sugar. Because if you don't want to get into heart disease, if you don't want to get into diabetes, if you don't want to get into high blood pressure, if you don't want all of those things happening all at the same time, you got to count the sugar. So, I mean, you got to get rid of the sugar. Would you agree with that?
Oh, totally, totally. And the first week or two, you know, you might have some difficulties with that. As you start cutting back your sugar, you say, I feel like, oh, I don't feel so good. I feel like I got a cold or a flu. Because our body has maybe 3-4 days of sugar stored in the muscle as glycogen, a different form of sugar. After we use that up, our body will start to use fats for energy. We have pretty much two sources of energy for the body. It's sugar and fat. If you take out the sugar, your body is going to start burning fat more efficiently and use that for energy. So as you cut down the sugar and start eating better, after a week or two, you're going to start to feel better. You know, the first few days, I don't feel good. I feel better when I have, you know, my sandwich or my pizza. But in the end, if you just stick it out a few days, you get to the other metabolism. You start burning fats for energy.
Well, one
body.
Of the things that happens is that you're readjusting your body,
correct.
And And so what's happening now is you've got a buildup of toxins in your body from all the stuff that you ate that really didn't do you any good. And it
and
doesn't know where to go.
And that stays in your system for a long time.
Right. And now you're giving your body what it needs. You're eating well, and you're giving your body what it needs. And it's like, wait a minute, what do I need to do with this other stuff that's here? And it tries to get rid of it. So everything goes through the kidneys and the liver to get out of the body. And if it's got to go through the kidneys and the liver, it's your liver and your kidneys talking to you about what they have to do to get rid of some of that stuff. So you're going to feel bad. You're going to feel worse before you feel better. That's just
right.
The way it is. And then
right.
You will feel better. And then it'll become something that when you do eat something that you know wasn't good for you, you're going to feel it right away. And you're going to say, oh, my God, I just ate that stuff, and I know that I shouldn't have because now I feel like crap. But I used to eat that every single day and never felt a thing. How come? Well, that's why. So, anyway, I got to get back to a calorie. Calorie is, and thank you so much. Somebody just blogged it in for me. It's the energy needed to raise 1 gram of water through 1 degree Celsius, which means that it's a chemical process. It's a heat conversion is what it is. It says
correct. It
to raise to 1 degree Celsius, meaning that it's the temperature of the body that's required to get that 1 gram of water to 1 degree, the temperature of 1 degree Celsius. So it means that it's a natural process. So please, when you're looking at calories, doesn't mean that you should just negate the whole thing and say no. So
right.
I think I made
and,
that
and
point
we,
now, right?
Exactly. And we our body needs calories. We need to
right.
eat to live. And eating's great. You know, I'm Italian. You know, we love to eat. And
yeah.
back in the day we would spend, you know, hours eating at the table. You sit around and you eat slowly and we're enjoying your food and you're enjoying your company. Going back to what you were saying, enjoy your food. Food is great. One of my main motivators when I was younger because I was a heavy little kid too, because I was on the, you know, soda, sugar, cookie diet. And,
oh, yeah.
In the early 70s, it dawned upon me that, gee, I wasn't going to be very popular with the ladies if I continue like this. So I started reading about nutrition and food, and Atkins diet was coming out. And that was a low-carb type diet. And it's not a perfect diet, but it gets you on the way to get off the sugars and the sodas. And as I did, and I started working out, I started getting healthy. And when you, instead of eating a bagel in the morning, eat some fruit and see how you feel. So I'll have a piece of fruit in the morning. Oh, I feel good. If I eat a bagel in the morning, I kind of feel sluggish now. What did I do? So you do feel, your body feels better when you eat the right food. It'll tell you. And
well, I think that's the point to make right there, is that everybody is different. Everybody. And so
exactly.
what's good for you isn't necessarily good for me, isn't necessarily good for your wife, isn't necessarily good for, you know, my neighbor. But for the most part, there are good foods to eat, and that's exactly what grows in the ground, the things that we can pronounce, the things that we usually stay away from. But when you're eating something, like, you know, it sounds weird, but think back. Think to those times when you said, you know, I don't know what it is, but I gotta have orange. It's just gotta have it. That's your body telling you that you need something in that orange that your body is lacking. So pay attention, because you do know what you should be eating, but you gotta pay attention. And that's
right.
one of the
and
things.
And eat the
that
orange.
We go through.
Eat the orange. Don't drink a half a gallon of orange juice. Because that overloads your system with sugar.
Right.
So
and I should make the point that fruit juices aren't exactly the greatest things either, because,
no.
You know, liquid sugar, our bodies don't recognize liquid sugar as well as it does when we eat it, when we chew
it.
There's
exactly.
a process
with all the enzymes.
When we eat. There's a process of digestion when we eat. When we chew, we automatically start the digestive process in the mouth. It goes through the esophagus, into the stomach, into the small intestine, into the large intestine. It comes out, and it gets processed through the body. When we drink, it goes faster, and the rest of the body has to catch up and say, wait a minute. And we've kind of overloaded. So that's why fruit juices in moderation. Some fruit juices you'll find have higher sugar contents than others, so smaller amounts.
Exactly, because when you go to a, you know, years ago you go to a diner, how big was the juice cup? You know, maybe 3 ounces.
Oh, yeah.
And now you'll go to a diner and they give you a half a liter of juice. So that's the difference. It's moderation. So you can have a little juice. That's not a problem.
Right. Right.
You know, if you drink a whole quart of orange juice in one sitting, that's not good. It's not good.
That's right. Anybody who has a question, please remember to press the number one, and let us know what your question is. We're running short here again. We got so much to talk about on this program. It's amazing.
Always fun.
It is. It's always fun. We have a great time on this show, don't we? I mean, the things that we talk about is just amazing sometimes. But so,
well, there's
anyway,
so much confusion about so much confusion in the media about food. And if you go to Europe, the Europeans will tell you that the American food industry is trying to infiltrate their cultures with American food. And the Europeans know that the American diet is unhealthy. And what happens when you have an unhealthy diet is you get sick and you start taking a lot of medication. So unhealthy food leads to a lot of medication. It leads to being unhealthy. And the Europeans are aware of this. But that might be another topic for another show with the GMO products, genetically modified organisms, and, you know, the wheat and the corn that we have in this country that's been genetically altered has a much higher sugar content now than it did 50 years ago.
Right.
And
maybe you
should
come back and talk about GMOs because that's a whole different show, and I want to talk about that. And that adds to what we're talking about here because the GMO component to the corn, the high fructose corn syrup, and the wheat that breaks down is – yeah, it's just amazing. So, but we got a couple questions, so let's go to the board here, okay?
Great.
All right, so we're going to go with caller 7152.
Yes.
7152.
Okay.
Hello.
All right. Hello.
Hi. You're
Hi.
On the air.
So if you had a limitation of how much sugar intake you should have a day, what would that amount be?
That's a good question.
Yeah, it is. Do you want it? You want to take it? You want me to take it?
I heard under 20 grams, so less than a can of soda a day would be a good amount.
That would be that's a good thumbprint. That really is. Most of the time, though, I will tell you that
for women, maybe 30 grams for men. For
right.
total carbohydrate, refined carbohydrate intake, you know, simple sugar.
Yeah, that's not including the complex carbohydrates.
No. You should eat all the
and
vegetables
you want. And complex means, think about it this way. You know, you have breads and you have grains and you have cereals. Those are complex carbohydrates. They take longer to digest. They go through the system. They do have a nutritive value, so you do extract some nutrients from them. So we call those complex carbohydrates. Simple carbohydrates are sugars. They go directly through to the cells, and there's really no nutritive value to them. They do serve a purpose, though, but in moderation. Does that answer your question?
It did. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in. Okay, we've got another question. 4977.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I have a question. I've always had a sweet tooth. Are there any supplements or any natural foods that you could recommend to help cut back on sugar intake?
Well, I love chocolate. Dark chocolate is good for you. So if you like sweets and you like dark chocolate, that's a great antioxidant. It's good for your body. And it's healthy. There are healthy sweets out there that you could find as opposed to just pure candy. You know, but dark chocolate's one. Any other recommendations, Carol?
Yeah. When you're trying to kind of alleviate from one and go to another, you look at some of the other things. What I usually tell people, if you've got a sweet tooth, then it doesn't really matter what you try to substitute, because if you don't satisfy that little bit of a sweet with a little bit of a sweet substitute or a sweet situation, like let's just say you crave a donut every single day, and what you normally do is you eat 10 donuts a day because you just love donuts and you have a sweet tooth and you do donuts and you do chocolate and you do whatever and you have all these sugars. And if you have a sweet tooth and you're craving that sugar, you need to cut that back. You need to just say, all right, instead of the 10 donuts that I'm eating a day, I'm going to start with eating 5. Okay? As much as that sounds ridiculous, is as much as if you don't give your body that craving at that moment, you're going to eat around it. So that means you're going to try to eat everything else that you think you should eat. And you're going to eat more, and you're going to still come back to that same craving. It happens every single time. So it's much better if you just go, okay, you know what? I really like my cookies at night, and instead of having 6 cookies, I'm going to have 1. So you're telling your body and you're telling your mind, okay, you know what? I'm going to give you what you want. I'm just not going to give you as much as what you're used to getting. So you're not depriving yourself, you're not punishing yourself, you don't have to go through all of that in your head, and then in turn, eat around it, eat a whole bunch of stuff like maybe chips or something else and something else on top of that, just to cut that craving for the sweet that you want, when in fact, if you just ate that one cookie instead of the 6, it would satisfy
you.
You
would have been happy. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Does that help?
And that's all human behavior that, you know, we have to understand. You know, it's our habits that motivate us to eat a lot of times and not hunger.
Right. There's a lot to be said for mindful eating. There's a whole lot to be said for intuitive eating, getting to understand what it means to actually sit down and eat a meal, understanding what it means to chew your food, understanding what it means to really pay attention to your body when it's telling you that you need to eat something that maybe you wouldn't normally, like we talked about earlier. I mean, it all just plays a role. And when you do have a craving, you should just go for it, but go for it for less than what you would normally do.
Exactly. Because sugar is addictive and your body wants it. That's it.
Right. So you got to cut it back gradually. Does that help?
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much, guys.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, well, you know what? We're out of time again. We did it again.
It was great talking to you, and, you know, hope you provided some good information. And
you were fabulous. Are you kidding? This is a show that we could just, you know, next time you come on and we do the GMOs, what maybe we ought to do is maybe we should do some patient scenarios so that people can relate that it happens
to
all of us.
GMO is not a new car that's being made. That's, you know, something that's being done to our food. So we got to educate the public, because now they're doing it to fish, not just the food products and grains.
Right.
You know, now they're talking about altering the salmon and not even telling the people that it's genetically modified. So there's some crazy stuff going on.
There's a new petition that's going out to petition like Costco and the big box stores to demand GMO labeling on their salmon, GMO labeling on their other products.
I hope so.
If they don't, if they don't do it, the FDA doesn't care. It's like, you know, there's a whole thing there with as it relates to the food industry and what
the
it
whole
means.
Food industry and what are we eating and what are we doing, and people don't know and they're so confused. So I'm so glad you're doing this show to educate the public, and you know, hopefully they listen. And there's plenty of research out there, which is also confusing. But seek out a professional like Carol Ferrese. She's a specialist in her field, and she can help you control your diet, get you back in shape, and you'll be healthy.
Well, thank you for that. But you know what? It's I appreciate all that, but you know, people like you too. You do fabulous work with your patients, and you know, you get fabulous results as well. So thank you for all that you're doing, and I think collectively we can really kind of make a difference. So thank you, thanks for coming on.
You can't do it alone. You have to work as a team, and they're great practitioners of health out there. Just seek them out.
That's right. On that note, we're going to say goodnight, but I'm going to let you know that we do not discriminate on this program. We think that everybody has a stake in health, so we're going to talk about dogs next time, and we're going to talk about hydrotherapy for dogs. So,
that's great.
We have someone coming on that has a hydrotherapy situation here in Orlando. And I've used her. They do fabulous work there. They get fabulous results for dogs that are not able to walk, dogs that
all the arthritis that some of the breeds have.
Right.
Sure. That's
amazing.
Great.
So we're gonna do that program, and then we've got some good shows coming up. We're gonna do in July, we're doing a show with Professor Doreen Tracy on essential oils and the health benefits of essential oils. And
fantastic.
We've got some good stuff coming up. So join us the next time. We're going to be back in 2 weeks. We're going to talk about our pups and what we can do to keep them going and keep them healthy. So everybody, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time. Dr. Pache, you're wonderful. I know you're coming back. In fact, we're going to schedule that in just a second here. So good night, everybody. And
good night.
I'll see you next time. Okay.
Good night. Have a great night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.